What's going on, DMV? You know who it is, youngest in charge movement, Linnell Willingham, here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan, and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me as I take you up to 9:10 here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. Nats baseball coming up once again tonight here on The Fan. If you were with us last night, a lot of buildup going into this series with the San Diego Padres. Nats went into last night a half game back of the Padres for that third and final wild card spot in the National League. And let's just say, tough luck for the Washington Nationals last night. Great baseball game if you got to catch it. Drama filled. We got extra innings. And Washington losing in heartbreaking walk-off fashion to the Padres last night by a score of 7-6. We had some dramatics there in the ninth inning as well as the 10th inning, but unfortunately for the Nats, not enough offense, I guess, as the San Diego Padres able to win last night on a walk-off from Jerickson Profar, and Profar very vocal post-game about how he felt about getting intentionally walked by Hunter Harvey. So it's interesting. I can't wait for the next two games of this series. We got another one tonight. As I mentioned, another 9:40 first pitch. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up at 9:10 with Nats on deck. But there's going to be some drama the rest of the way in this thing. These two teams, you know, fully aware of the circumstances that surround tonight's game. And I continue to say for Washington, look, you get your groove back. And get your mojo back after what happened, one, on Saturday. You were able to clean it up and you closed out the series with a win against Colorado Sunday. And then last night, I thought, and we were laughing over the weekend, that, you know, what are the odds that for this massive series that you got against San Diego, Patrick Corbin gets your first start of the series. He actually wasn't all that bad last night, talking about Patrick Corbin. Was able to keep Washington in this thing early on. It was solid for most of the night. I think he ended up, what was it, seven innings last night that we got out of Patrick Corbin. So good stuff from him. Five punch outs, just three earned on five hits. So not a bad night overall, but it was tough sledding for our pal Hunter Harvey there in the 10th. But nonetheless, Washington and San Diego set to do battle again here tonight. It'll be Mackenzie Gore on the bump here tonight for DC. And that, anytime you see Mackenzie Gore take the mound going up against the San Diego Padres, it gives you the feels. Hopefully, you know, Washington and the fellas take this game personally for tonight as Mackenzie Gore gets set to get a start against the team he started his major league career with, the San Diego Padres. 9:40 first pitch. You can catch all of the action right here on The Fan. Updated look at the National League wild card picture. Braves, Cardinals, Padres. Right now, the teams that are in those three spots. Washington after their loss last night, a game and a half back. Remember, coming up here, and I believe it's two out of their next three series are against the New York Mets and the St. Louis Cardinals. Two teams. One in St. Louis that's right now firmly in control of that second wild card spot there, game up. And then the New York Mets, NL rival, NL East rival, rather than someone that's right on the heels of the Washington Nationals in this National League race. So make sure you keep it locked here tonight on The Fan to catch Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler as they bring in Nats baseball. The story of yesterday, we talked about it most of the show as the news was kind of breaking right when we were about to get on the air. Brandon Ayuk yesterday met with the San Francisco 49ers, and the drama continues. We don't really know how that meeting went yesterday with San Fran, but we knew all of the details. Brandon Ayuk called this meeting with Kyle Shanahan, head coach, John Lynch, general manager, and based on some of the reporting from some ESPN personalities during the day, Brandon Ayuk taking this negotiation with San Francisco a little bit personal, almost to the point where after his actions today, I would say, and I was saying it last night, but I thought I was premature in doing so, Brandon Ayuk jaded over the San Francisco 49ers. I said it last night. I said it over the weekend. I don't necessarily agree with how Brandon Ayuk is playing this thing and how public it has been. And it went public once again earlier this afternoon. Brandon Ayuk on Twitter, on Instagram, commenting on an aggregator's post saying, I thought the San Francisco 49ers weren't trying to trade me, as I believe it was Dove Kleeman. And I know you all know how much I hate saying that name. I think it was Dove Kleeman, though, putting out what Adam Schefter had reported yesterday, that Washington and San Francisco had already had trade talks surrounding Brandon Ayuk. But Brandon Ayuk, once again, loud and proud, showing his disdain right now toward the San Francisco 49ers, and once again making it public. And based off of pure speculation here, by the way, based off of Ayuk's tweet from earlier today, I'd still think that, you know, Ayuk, one, is jaded, and two, that meeting yesterday with San Francisco could not have gone too well. Now, I don't know what the eventual fallout is going to be. I do feel like in my gut, off of pure instinct, that I would think Washington is still lurking around in the weeds. And I would also have to assume, and we don't know this yet, pure speculation, based off of what San Fran has continued to put out there through the media, that they want Ayuk back, which makes all the sense in the world, as I continue to allude to. They're a team that has really ran a roughshod through the NFC the past couple of years. You can make the argument that they are the clear-cut best team in the NFC. A parting ways with Brandon Ayuk doesn't seem like something a championship contending team would do. But I still contend, because of what I just said, that Washington, despite what's being reported, not reported, connect the dots here. I think Washington initiated those trade talks with San Francisco, meaning if Washington's offer was not good enough at the time for Ayuk, or if the demands were too extreme from San Francisco, as we get closer to training camp, what do I say? Deadlines spur action. I don't think an organization like San Francisco, who has kept things very close to the vest and has been extremely professional throughout contract negotiations with other guys, I don't think they want this hanging over the organization as they get geared up for training camp. So, like I said, as we get closer to camp, expect the rumblings to get a little bit louder on a potential Brandon Ayuk deal to the Washington Commanders. I'm not ruling it out by any stretch of the imagination, and my stance on it remains the same. I have, and I want the t-shirt made. I keep saying it every time I'm on air. Make me a t-shirt that says, I'm the most optimistic about the 2024 Washington Commanders. And I'm not just saying it for tiddlywinks. I'm sipping the Kool-Aid. I've got an acute version of Ashburn syndrome, because I continue to believe that whether they add Ayuk or not, the quarterback that Washington has under center and all of the details that continue to be divulged about his preparation and why he was able to make that massive leap from year one to year two at LSU, it's got me bought in. And the hope is that that work ethic, that mentality, that gotta have it, go-getter mindset, hopefully that is contagious to the rest of the Washington Commanders locker room. And if that's the case, who knows what the ceiling could be for the 2024 Washington Commanders. Like I said, though, I believe Washington still firmly lurking in the weeds. And as we get closer to training camp, we will get more insight and more information as to exactly what's happening when it comes to the Washington Commanders and trying to pull off a trade for Brandon Ayuk. Like I said last night, though, I hope and through scrolling on Twitter today, I'm getting a little bit better feel as to what folks are thinking. But last night on Twitter and over the weekend, I don't know if it's because it's a slow and quiet period during Washington's offseason, but you all seemed super duper upset that Washington hadn't gotten this deal done yet. And to add to that, I got the impression that if Washington doesn't trade for Brandon Ayuk, then the fan base would be in a frenzy. As I said last night, what have I been saying all offseason long? Ever since we hired that damn handsome devil, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. Whatever Adam Peters and company want, I'm on board with it. And if they think a Brandon Ayuk trade is necessary, fine. Go do it and pay his ass. Do what you got to do. But if they don't feel like it's necessary and they have internal belief in third-year wide receiver Jahan Dotson and rookie wide receiver Luke McCaffrey, if that is the case, then I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I do understand, though, the benefits that a veteran wideout has for a quarterback. And anyone out there, and there is, and I feel like this group represents the minority right now, which is good, because normally you all as a majority are not very intelligent. A small sector of you for whatever reason are against a Brandon Ayuk trade. I don't really understand why. I don't see any negative to the situation. And if I was willing to point out a negative, I don't even really consider this to be one, but maybe the potential of, like, who's the odd man out? Does Jahan Dotson lose snaps to Brandon Ayuk? Does Luke McCaffrey lose snaps to Brandon Ayuk? Either way, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, great. Washington also super busy at work earlier today, making some changes to the personnel staff and football support staff. Doug Williams finally put back in the personnel department, now listed as the senior advisor to the general manager. And I've heard, I don't want to categorize comments as ignorant, but I've heard some differing opinions on the validity of Doug Williams' title within the organization. And I think it's kind of laughable that folks would try and question the football intelligence of a former Super Bowl winning quarterback. I think it's comical that some people would try and question the football acumen of one of the best quarterbacks to wear the burgundy and gold. Adam Peters and company, and you can say, have whatever motives you want for why Doug has the job. Doug is playing a very instrumental role right now in this organization for a multitude of different reasons. One, we just drafted a quarterback number two overall. You don't think Doug Williams is a good person to have as a mentor and someone to be in Jaden's back pocket whenever he needs him to lean on him for advice and things of that nature and how to handle being the starting quarterback here in Washington? As I said during the pre-draft process, it's different getting drafted to New England to be the starting quarterback. I guess that's a bad example. Minnesota, who drafted a quarterback, Denver. The expectation level, the pressure, for what it's worth, is just not the same. So I love the fact that Doug Williams is having a bump in title and getting more say-so within the organization. I think it only is good news for the rest of the team. There are a bevy of other news, or moves rather, as well. The one that obviously catches, you know, my attention is one, the Doug Williams hire or promotion or change in title. And then Dylan Thompson, whose hire was announced a couple of weeks ago, someone that C.J. Stroud said was super instrumental in helping out all of the rookies in Houston a season ago. Will Anderson also speaking glowingly of Dylan Thompson. He now officially listed as the senior director of team support and advancement. So this is all part of the process. I continue to say it. I think they have the right mix of people within the building and some of the moves they made today, I think only is going to benefit the Washington Commanders. We'll talk all things burgundy and gold. Top of the 8 o'clock hour, our pal Jory Epstein, who we teased yesterday, senior NFL writer for YahooSports.com, was in Ashburn for a couple of days during mandatory minicamp and got the lay of the land from new head coach Dan Quinn, plus got some tremendous insight on what has made Jaden Daniels' transition to the National Football League so seamless to this point, and why national media folks, before training camp, I might add, are calling this young man special. We'll get to that when Jory Epstein joins the program. Top of the 8 o'clock hour, 7:30, our pal Josh Robbins set to join the program as we're just, look at this, ladies and gentlemen. I want to get it down to the minute. We'll wait till the clock hits. So it's 6:50. We are 25 hours and 10 minutes away from the Washington Wizards being on the clock in the 2024 NBA draft. Make sure you join me. As I mentioned last night, tomorrow, live out at Cap One Arena on the concourse, our coverage of the 2024 NBA draft gets underway at 7 p.m. over on the Team 980. You'll join us here on The Fan following the conclusion of Nats baseball, but plenty of guests set to stop by the desk. Our pal Craig Hoffman, host of The Hoffman Show, weekdays 4 to 7 over on the Team 980, set to join us for the first hour of programming as well. So I'm super excited for what tomorrow could potentially bring. But before we get into who Washington potentially is looking at and all of the latest rumors that continue to swirl as we're 24 hours out from the draft, I just want to, this is going to sound like I'm being a homer and like I'm blinded by the colors of my team's jersey. As I said with Adam Peters when he was hired back in February, he was one of the most highly sought after talent evaluators in the National Football League. In the NBA, the Washington Wizards doing their damnedest to put together one of the top front offices in all of the NBA. The Wizvengers is what I'm calling them, because they've all got their own little superpower in terms of where they've been and their previous stops and what has made them great. They all have it. They all have it. Mike Winger, coming over from the LA Clippers, knows how to deal with big-time personalities and egos the way that he had to do in LA. He knows how to have the tough conversations with veterans the way he had to in LA. So I'm excited about him and having clout and cachet in the front office. That's what he brings, a well-respected, well-traveled, longtime NBA exec leading this whole thing for the Washington Wizards. And then Will Dawkins. Will Dawkins, I'm calling him the Eric Spoelstra of GMs in the NBA. Well-traveled, started off as an intern in the Oklahoma City Thunder's organization and grinded his way to the top. And now, he's got the opportunity to lead a personnel department for the first time and call the shots and have the final say for the first time. Excited to see what he's going to do and what he can continue to do. They were on Bilal Coulibaly, who looks like a damn good pick, because they were scouting him last year. Because the one thing about Will Dawkins coming from OKC, the drafting will get better. I think they're 2-for-2 in their picks last year. Tristan Vucevic in the final 10 games of the regular season burst onto the scene and showed that he's going to be a part of this rotation moving forward. And then Travis Schlenk, the senior VP of player personnel. Pit stops in Atlanta when they drafted Trae Young, was also in Golden State. So when you add these guys together, and then yesterday's hire, which really put me over the top, because I'm like, okay, this is real. It may suck right now. It stunk last year, being out at Cap One Arena and then being down by his money as much as 25 before halftime. But they added Troy Weaver yesterday. And we know Troy Weaver, over the past 10, 15 years, has been the number two and right-hand man to Oklahoma City Thunder general manager Sam Presti. And Weaver, we know, played a big role in the scouting and development of Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Harden, Ibaka, Reggie Jackson. So the Wizards right now, as I said it last night, with the addition of Troy Weaver, I can confidently say one of the best 5 to 7 front offices in the NBA resides right here in Washington. As I mentioned, though, 24 hours away from night one of the NBA draft, Wizards with 2 first-round picks and maybe looking to add more. Give you the latest on the Washington Wizards as we sit 24 hours out from the NBA draft. All that and more coming up next here on Overtime. Just getting rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime, Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 9:10. Before we dish things over to Nats baseball, Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler with Game 2 of Nats and Padres. That massive series out west ended in dramatic fashion in the first game last night. A walk-off homer in the 10th, and then some extracurriculars post-game with our guy Profar from the San Diego Padres, Dirksen Profar, talking his cash money you-know-what in the post-game. Feeling some type of way because the Nats walked the batter in front of him and he ended up making them pay. Padres 7-6 winners last night. Nats a game and a half back of San Diego of that third and final wild card spot in the National League. Mackenzie Gore on the bump tonight, 9:40 first pitch. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave coming up right here at 9:10 on The Fan. 24 hours out from the Washington Wizards being on the clock. They've got the number 2 overall pick. They've got the number 26 overall pick coming up in tomorrow night's NBA draft. I will be live out on the concourse at Capital One Arena for the Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan's official coverage of the 2024 NBA draft. A bevy of guests set to stop by the program. My pal Craig Hoffman from the Team 980 set to be with me for the first hour of the program. Wizards with 2 first-round picks, and there's a lot of scuttlebutt right now about whether or not they're trying to acquire more picks. Plenty of rumors right now swirling surrounding the Washington Wizards. We'll try to get to some of the bottom of those rumors here in the 7 o'clock hour about Josh Robbins, who covers the team for the Athletic, set to join us in about a half hour at 7:30. But I want to touch on some of the rumors that have been put out. As we sit here about 24 hours away from the start of the draft, here is the latest on the Washington Wizards. First of all, their intentions with that number 2 overall pick. Couple of different outlets reporting a couple of different things. Longtime NBA insider Mark Stein is reporting that the Washington Wizards have an affinity for French big man Alex Czar. Jonathan Givony, lead draft analyst for ESPN, also reporting that. There is also a report, though, that the Atlanta Hawks have interest in Alex Czar as well. And this is where things kind of start to get interesting. There's reports that Atlanta may be looking to take Czar with that number 1 overall pick, but there's one problem with that. Alex Czar, during this pre-draft process, him and his camp at WME have made it very clear that they don't want to go to Atlanta, even ditching workouts that the Hawks invited him to. Here is Alex Czar talking yesterday to a contingent of reporters about where he wants to go.
Going along with that, there's been a lot of reports the last couple days about you declining to work out with the Hawks. What went into that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I have a great team around me, you know, Bill Duffy and WME. I've already been through all of this, and I trust them, and, you know, I'm not going to get into the specifics of where I worked out or where I didn't, but, you know, I've been doing my best in my workouts, and that's all I can control.
Do you want to be the number 1 pick?
You know, of course, you know, as a competitor, you know, but for me, it's more important to be drafted, you know. I think at the end of the day, that's what's most important, you know, and you just got to be grateful for that.
When you look at Atlanta and Washington, how do you feel like you could fit in those places?
I mean, I think I can, in fact, winning on any team I land at, you know. I'm pretty confident in that. You know, I think my defensive facility and offensively me being able to play different spots make me, I think, an impactful player on winning.
It's Alex Czar, the projected number 2 overall pick to Washington, according to most mock drafts. There's also a conversation out there that the Atlanta Hawks would be interested in taking Zachary Richichet, the other 18-year-old Frenchman with the number one overall pick. And Mark Stein of ESPN reported, not of ESPN, but Mark Stein, a longtime NBA insider for ESPN, now an independent reporter, Mark reporting that the interest in Atlanta and Alex Saar has as much to do with them trying to squeeze extra draft capital out of Washington than it has to do with them having legit interest in Alex Saar. So we'll see what happens between now and draft night. But Jonathan Givony, as we mentioned yesterday, the lead draft analyst for ESPN, also reporting Washington's been radio silent on their front in terms of what their intentions are with that number two overall pick. There is a thought that they will choose between Alex Saar and Zachary Richichet, depending on who Atlanta chooses not to go with. But at the end of the day, the fascinating part about this, when it comes to this year's draft in particular and the dialogue around it, there's so much talk about how there isn't star power at the top of the draft and how there isn't a guy in this draft that has the ceiling and potential of a future all-star. But as we continue to get closer and closer, you continue to hear teams going crazy, moving all over the lottery or trying to move all around the lottery to get up and get a particular player. I don't think that it's fair to buy into this narrative that there isn't a lot of talent in this draft. I put the onus on the talent evaluators. You got to draft well. Point blank, period. You go out and find the talent. That is the job of, you know, an NBA talent evaluator. I don't care if you got to go out to Croatia to find the kids. Go find the talent. Because at the end of the day, in today's NBA, and you look at all the teams that were in the final four of the NBA, Minnesota, Dallas, Boston, Indiana, it's about drafting well. And all of those teams have hit on draft picks. And you don't have to be picking at the top of the draft to select an impactful player. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see ultimately what happens here. But as I mentioned at the top of the segment here, there are so many rumors out there swirling around the Wizards in terms of what their intentions are on draft night. They have the second pick and they have the number 26 overall pick. There has been rumors from multiple outlets that not only is Washington looking to move up from pick number 26, they could also be looking to acquire another first-round pick within the NBA draft lottery. Now, the name in the team that continues to come up, shocker, Kyle Kuzma in the Sacramento Kings. Now, according to reports, the Kings have once again shown tremendous interest in acquiring Kyle Kuzma, and there is thought that the Kings' number 13 overall pick is quote-unquote very available in trade talks, according to Anthony Slater and Sam Amick of The Athletic. We'll have Josh Robbins of The Athletic join us in about 15 minutes here to get to the bottom of his colleagues' reporting. But I guess the question I would pose out to you all is this: would you be comfortable moving Kyle Kuzma to San Antonio, or to the Sacramento, rather, for that number 13 overall pick? Would you be comfortable moving Kyle Kuzma to Sacramento for the number 13 overall pick? Kuzma, not the only Washington Wizard that's been in the middle of trade talks here, according to multiple reports. Now, I reported this at the trade deadline, so I would love to get my flowers and a damn round of applause as well. A lot of folks were freaking out when Tyus Jones was not moved at the trade deadline. I had reported then that according to folks I had talked to that are close to the situation, Tyus was expected to be a sign-and-trade candidate this offseason. Well, it's now being reported by Mike Scotto of HoopsHype.com that Tyus Jones is a possible sign-and-trade candidate, that according to multiple execs around the league. There is a thought that Tyus Jones is one of the best free agent point guards on the market. Now, for Washington, the big issue that I had during the regular season is, well, why let a guy walk in the offseason instead of getting him for asset or giving him up for assets at the deadline? I believe they own or have Tyus's bird rights, which allows them to participate in a sign and trade. So we'll see what they're able to net for Tyus Jones, but I do not expect him to be in Washington at the start of next year. Another Wizards veteran that's continuing to garner some trade interest, Landry Shamet, according to Scotto, has received trade interest from the L.A. Clippers, the L.A. Lakers, the Dallas Mavericks, the Utah Jazz, the Toronto Raptors, as well as the Orlando Magic. The question I have, and Shamet, if you were lucky enough to watch some of Wizards basketball last year, Landry Shamet, I thought, performed pretty well in spots. And I could damn sure see contending teams looking at him as a guy who could come in and be a key part of your rotation from Jump Street. But that's the latest with the Washington Wizards. A bunch of trade rumors right now going out there. But to me, I feel like as we sit here about 24 hours out from the draft, as much as I respect all of the reporting that's happening around the NBA, I still continue to believe that no one really knows what the Washington Wizards are looking to do coming up tomorrow night. I think there are a bunch of different ways Washington can go here. One, you can obviously stick and pick with that number two overall pick and select a guy, the best talent possible, or you can flip that number two overall pick and get something that I feel like maybe not enough of us are talking about. 2025 and 2026 are expected to be loaded draft classes in terms of what you can get at the top. So an asset that I'd love to see Washington acquire if they move out of any of these first round picks, get some future unprotected picks for 2025, 2026, 2027. Because there's multiple different ways you can look at this. You're at the very beginning stages of this rebuild. So right now, you have the ability to take on bad contracts, which is why this is another piece of rumored interest. Washington reportedly interested in Tim Hardaway Jr. That's to take on the salary and get unprotected picks to go along with it. So if you're Washington and you're Will Dawkins and you're Mike Winger, you want as many bites at the apple as possible. So I understand, you know, why they are being rumored to be interested in several bad contracts around the NBA. That's what Washington can be the next couple of years. You're flush with cap space. You could be the location for bad contracts. Whenever a team wants to get off of a bad contract, call up the Wizards, but you got to have a first-round pick armed with you as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Your calls on your thoughts heading into the NBA draft tomorrow night for the Washington Wizards. We'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can also tweet at me. It's at @NELL_BTP. In about 10 minutes, our pal Josh Robbins set to join the program. He'll give us the latest on the Washington Wizards as we get geared up for the NBA draft tomorrow night. When we come back, the rumor I had talked about, the Sacramento Kings, according to multiple reports, with legit interest once again in Wizards veteran Kyle Kuzma. What would it take to move off of Kyle Kuzma? Right now it's being rumored that Sacramento willing to throw out the number 13 overall pick. Would that be enough to move y'all for Kyle Kuzma? Your call is supposed to give you my thoughts next here on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. Talking all things Washington Wizards as we sit here about 24 hours away from the start of the NBA draft. Make sure you join us tomorrow night over on our sister station, the Team 980, starting at 7 o'clock. I'll be live out on the concourse at Capital One Arena at the official Wizards draft party. We'll have plenty of guests stop by the program. My pal Craig Hoffman, host of the Hoffman Show, set to join me for the first hour of the program. And we'll get to find out together in real time who the Wizards select with that number two overall pick. Question is this out on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lines. Is there anyone in particular you'd want Washington to take at number two? And then, with the trade rumors running rampant surrounding Kyle Kuzma, one hypothetical that has come up and one team that has come up is the Sacramento Kings. And according to multiple reports, they're okay parting ways with the number 13 overall pick to acquire a talent like a Kyle Kuzma. If you are the Wizards, would you make the move to deal Kyle Kuzma for the number 13 overall pick? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I think the Kyle Kuzma dialogue is pretty interesting in terms of how certain fans feel about him. I think there's an appreciation, for me at least, just watching his game grow and evolve since he's been here in D.C. I think he's, you know, really locked in and worked on himself and made himself a better basketball player. He's become a better leader, never ducks the media after blowout losses, always is super insightful. Kyle Kuzma, NBA champion coming into this thing, man, has grown up and become a man with the Washington Wizards. So part of me would feel some type of way if they had to move on from him, but I do understand what the purpose of this rebuild is. It's about acquiring the most young assets possible. Now, I'll say this in terms of the Wizards' feelings on Kyle Kuzma. They love him here in D.C. They don't want to move him, but they obviously understand that they'd be foolish not to pick up the phone on trade requests for him. But make no mistake about it, Washington wants to keep Kyle Kuzma because they think he could be part of the building blocks towards the future here when they get this thing on the right track, though. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Mark is in Largo. Mark, what's going on, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Lonell? How you doing, bro?
I'm good. How you doing?
I would make that move for Kuzma. I would send him to Sacramento. And I think that would be our best bet. I know I agree with you. I don't think they really want to move him. I understand why, but I do think sooner or later, Lonell, you're going to have to start getting – you're going to have to identify your core. You just can't keep rebuilding. You got to identify your core. And I think part of their core is Denny and Coulibaugh. That's their two. Now, I also think maybe there's a chance Poole could be the core if you play Poole at the point. But it also depends on who they draft tomorrow. Now, I'm hoping they can get Sarr. If they can get Sarr, then maybe you put him at the four, and then you play Coulibaugh at the two, and then you play Denny at the three, and you go from there, and you can get other people to be your future point guard. Maybe you could draft Topolek later in the draft and just wait on him because he tore his knee up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But as far as trading the pick and getting more future assets, well, no, this is not the NFL. You can't do that. You can't. And the reason why I say that is because the Wizards were blessed to get the number two pick.
They were.
What if next year in the draft lottery they're picking number 8 and 9? And you're trading away all your second pick this year for future draft picks and stuff like that. We don't know how the ball will go.
That's true.
And I think in the NFL you can do that. You can do that in the NFL. Can't do that in the draft lottery. Can't do it in the draft. I mean, and that's why I think they have to take someone at two.
Real quick, Mark. You think you would go with Sarr at number two?
I would go with Sarr at number two. God help us if we go with Klingon. I do not want to see Donovan Klingon here.
Me either, Mark. I appreciate the call. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Mark makes an interesting comment here, and I think we can chew on this as the hour rolls on. We got Josh Robbins getting ready to come up on the other side of the break. Who are the pieces in Washington's core? Because if Kyle Kuzma is not for sure a piece, then you got to move him. It's cutthroat, but that's the way I feel about it. Kuzma's going to be an asset, though, to multiple different suitors out there in this NBA draft. Certainly a team. I look at a team like Memphis, who holds the number 9 overall pick. Would you give up 9 for Kuzma? Because Kuzma's got a contract that's already team-friendly in terms of the money being front-loaded, but then it declines to where in that final year of the deal, I think you're getting Kuzma at a discount of like $19.5 million. With today's explosion in the contracts, like Kuzma, especially considering the contract that he's on, 1,000% an asset. Let's go to Chuck in Bethesda. What's going on, Chuck?
Why would you even consider trading Kuzma for the 13th or the 9th pick in an absolutely horrible draft?
Well, Chuck,
I mean, at two, we don't even know what we're going to get, much less 9th or 13th.
So I think the reason for that is, according to most people that have studied this thing, between picks 10 and 25, it really in that back end of the first round, you're getting the same caliber of players. So why not get multiple guys in that slot? You already are armed with 26, and there are rumors running rampant that they're trying to move up from that pick. Maybe they have identified that as the sweet spot in the draft. And like I said, Chuck, I hear all the rumors as well about the draft not being very good. It is on the talent evaluators to find the talent that's in the draft. We say this each and every year. They said that about 2013. There have been multiple All-Stars that come out of that class. It's about being the team that finds them. And finally, for the first time in my existence, Washington actually has competent decision makers in the front office that I trust to make that decision.
Why wouldn't you keep Kuzma?
If a team is offering you draft capital for him, why keep him? What is Kyle Kuzma's 20 points a game do for you last year?
Okay, I just think he's an exceptional talent.
I think he's a good talent too, but I think at some point, aging player, looking to win now, like he's in the prime of his career right now. I give him all the credit in the world. He has grown up since coming here to Washington. He has made tremendous strides in his game. But if I think I may do it for the number 9 pick. If Memphis calls you with the 9th pick and says, hey, I want to do it. Even Sacramento at 13, I just think the more bites you have at the apple, the more chance you have of getting a franchise-altering talent. And we know right now Kyle Kuzma is not a franchise-altering talent.
Thanks, thank you, Linnell.
Chuck, appreciate you as always. Josh Robbins of The Athletic coming up next. Still moving and grooving along here in the 7 o'clock hour here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 9:10 before we dish things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They're bringing Nats baseball. Nats falling last night in dramatic fashion in the 10th inning to the Padres by a score of 7-6. Mackenzie Gore on the bump tonight for D.C. as they try to even this series up at one apiece. Massive series for the Washington Nationals as they're right now a game and a half back of the Padres for that third and final wild card spot in the National League. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up right here on The Fan starting at 9:10 with Nats on deck. As we've mentioned all show long, about 24 hours away from night one of the 2024 NBA draft. Make sure you join us live out on the concourse tomorrow night at Capital One Arena. Myself and Craig Kaufman will ride with you for the first hour as the Wizards on the clock with that number 2 overall pick. The big storyline, in my opinion, as we get geared up for tomorrow night's draft is, will the Washington Wizards walk away? Or, excuse me, this is the better way to phrase it. How many players will the Washington Wizards walk away with tomorrow night? Joining us right now via the BetQL guest hotline to sort through some of that, our good friend Josh Robbins, a senior NBA writer for The Athletic who covers the Washington Wizards. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Joshua B. Robbins. Josh, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Yes, good evening, Linnell. Good evening.
Yeah, it's a good evening indeed. I always get excited this time of year because, and Josh, you probably can relate to this and understand where I'm coming from. Being the youngest in charge movement as I am, I'm 26. So most of my Wizards off seasons, Josh, in my recent memory, have been spent looking forward to the NBA draft tomorrow night. It's around the corner and here once again. I guess I'll ask you the question that I just posed out a few moments ago. With all of the speculation running rampant right now, this is not reporting by any stretch. This is just Josh Robbins' gut feel. How many players does Washington leave tomorrow night's draft with?
Okay, so thinking that with the knowledge that for the first time in forever, there's only going to be one round tomorrow, I think they'll come away with two draft picks. And maybe that means they trade number 26 and 51 to move up higher into the first round to go along with number two. So that's my guess. I think a lot of that remains fluid, though.
For sure. And I've been curious to see some of the reporting out there trying to get a gauge on what Washington is doing. Jonathan Givony, the lead draft analyst for ESPN, described, you know, Washington and their camp being radio silent in terms of, you know, speculation and how open they've been with other, you know, execs and people of that matter in terms of their plans. You surprised at all that things have been, you know, as quiet as they've been on Washington's front?
No. And I think no one expected this executive group to open up workouts to the media. And the reality is that even with past regimes that had open workouts to the media, or in other words, had guys who came in speak to the media after the workouts were done, sometimes there would be a second workout, and sometimes there would be a secret workout.
Yeah.
So really, none of these front offices, and I'm not all 30 of them, are in many ways not doing their jobs properly if this stuff gets out.
Right.
But it all does get out.
Eventually,
you know
right?
Why? You know why?
Why?
Because if, you know, Linnell Willingham has worked out for the Wizards and then goes to, or Josh Robbins goes, works out, the very next place they go, one of the first questions they're asked is, where have you worked out?
Right. So it's all public information at the end of the day when it gets down to the nitty gritty. One report that I saw today, Josh, from your colleagues at The Athletic, I believe it was Anthony Slater and Sam Amick, I believe, reported that, and I'm trying to pull it up here because I completely just lost track of thought here in real time. But
maybe Sacramento.
Yes, the sack. Thank you, Josh. I had a brain at my young age, Josh. I had a brain fart.
Well, I'm your age, so.
Are we still doing this? Okay, well, I see we're still doing the bit. But no, yeah. Josh, your colleagues, you know, boots on the ground doing excellent work as you are as well. What do you make of the report? And then I guess I'll ask you this way. Is Washington, would you describe the Wizards as eager to move on from Kyle Kuzma or willing to listen to offers and why, depending on which way you lean?
No, they're not eager to move on from Kuzma. They want to get as many young guys who have upside and who also fit their timeline. By the time the Wizards get good, if they get good, it will be beyond Kuzma's current 4-year contract. He's got 3 years remaining. So, yeah, as Tommy Shepard always would say, and he was right, you have to have talent to get talent, and that's true. And who on this Wizards team is good enough to get you a lottery pick in a admittedly bad draft? The list isn't long.
Yeah,
it's Kuzma. It's maybe Denny. It's Bilal. Not a long list at all. And Sacramento is a team that had in prior years shown interest in Kuz, and my guys, Amick and Slater, know this. I mean, they're based there. That's not a secret. That's less secretive wherever anyone has worked out. So the Wizards have got to get better talent, right? Doesn't matter if they are going to be good right away. As a matter of fact, it's probably better that they don't add to the win total next year and the year after that. But if you can get guys who have a high ceiling, that's what they're going to do.
So, Josh, and I agree with what you're saying 110% because we understand what the goals of a rebuild are. You want to bring in as much young talent as possible, young, cheap talent. Kyle, based on the talent level and how much he's making and this being a declining contract, is he viewed as more of an asset in NBA circles because of the contract or because who Kyle Kuzma is?
He can play.
I'm not trying to take that away from him.
I'm trying to answer. Okay. He can play. And if he's bought in and is willing to do what a championship team or a high-level team needs from him, then he's a big asset. Sacramento needs to win now.
Yeah.
Because they are in a much tougher comp. They are in a tough conference. They didn't get into the postseason last year. Wildly missed expectations. If he is willing to play defense and not take a ton of shots and usage out of the hands of Sabonis and Fox, then he will be a great fit for them. And it helps that his contract is very good, very team friendly.
Yeah.
In the age of a second apron, where teams get rocked if they are above that number and can't maneuver anymore, then the contract also helps. So, yes, they're both how he could play if he's bought in and the contract. There, he would have two pluses.
So basically, you're kind of agreeing with what I'm saying. I think the contract makes him more of an asset. As you just laid out there, though, the kid can play. It's about, he's got championship pedigree. It's about, as you said, him being willing to be locked in on the defensive end for 40-plus minutes tonight, and then is he going to be willing to share the rock and not be selfish offensively? I think in a situation like Sacramento, he would fit like a glove and give them exactly what I think maybe that they're missing. From the Wizards' angle of this, in terms of their hunt to acquire draft capital moving forward, we know Kyle Kuzma's a name that's been thrown out there. Another name that I continue to wonder about is Denny Avdia. Now, I haven't seen, well, I guess I'll put it this way, anyone with legit credibility put out that Denny has been, you know, talked about in trade conversations. In terms of Denny the player, if they are to retain him, how big of a step do you expect him to take next year? And in terms of if they're really looking at his long-term development, would it make sense to maybe clear some of the logjam that you have at the 3 and 4 there by moving on from Kyle Kuzma and certainly giving Denny more opportunity?
I'm processing your question. No, I'm not really keen on that, because if you're going to move, Kuzma plays the four,
right?
As you know. And okay, well, Bilal can't play the four on most nights. So who would shift to the four? Denny. And playing at the four defensively negates, if he has to play the four defensively, negates a lot of what makes him valuable on the defensive end.
For sure.
Yes, he could switch 1-2-4. But part of Denny's appeal, and he sure enhanced his stock last year with the increase in three-point shooting, his finishing around the basket, his foul drawing, everything is kind of rising for him. But the cherry on top, or really what I guess the root beer in the float.
Is his
height.
Yes.
And his ability.
Positional
to play,
size.
Yeah, to play. Yes, he can play the four, but he's an asset defensively at the three and guarding twos and some one.
Right.
So the reality is that right now, for the very long term, Bilal is probably more important than Denny, because Bilal is younger.
For sure.
But you don't, I as usual, you and I agree on a lot of things. And for the long term, Bilal may be more important than Denny, but Denny's more important than Kuz. Just because of their ages.
Just because of the ages. And I, look, as you just mentioned, not that we try to agree on purpose, Josh, we're just two smart basketball minds, my friend. I would, if any team in the lottery, Memphis at 9, 13 with Sacramento, if they're offering a first, 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL underscore BTP, talking all things Washington Wizards as we sit here about 24 hours away from the start of the NBA draft. Make sure you join us tomorrow night over on our sister station, the Team 980, starting at 7 o'clock. I'll be live out on the concourse at Capital One Arena at the official Wizards draft party. We'll have plenty of guests stop by the program. My pal Craig Hoffman, host of the Hoffman Show, set to join me for the first hour of the program. And we'll get to find out together in real time who the Wizards select with that number two overall pick. Question is this, out on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. Is there anyone in particular you'd want Washington to take at number two? And then, with the trade rumors running rampant surrounding Kyle Kuzma, one hypothetical that has come up and one team that has come up is the Sacramento Kings. And according to multiple reports, they're okay parting ways with the number 13 overall pick to acquire a talent like a Kyle Kuzma. If you are the Wizards, would you make the move to deal Kyle Kuzma for the number 13 overall pick? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I think the Kyle Kuzma dialogue is pretty interesting in terms of how certain fans feel about him. I think there's an appreciation, for me at least, just watching his game grow and evolve since he's been here in D.C. I think he's, you know, really locked in and worked on himself and made himself a better basketball player. He's become a better leader, never ducks the media after blowout losses, always is super insightful. Kyle Kuzma, NBA champion coming into this thing, man, has grown up and become a man with the Washington Wizards. So part of me would feel some type of way if they had to move on from him, but I do understand what the purpose of this rebuild is. It's about acquiring the most young assets possible. Now, I'll say this in terms of the Wizards' feelings on Kyle Kuzma. They love him here in D.C. They don't want to move him, but they obviously understand that they'd be foolish not to pick up the phone on trade requests for him. But make no mistake about it, Washington wants to keep Kyle Kuzma because they think he could be part of the building blocks towards the future here when they get this thing on the right track, though. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Mark is in Largo. Mark, what's going on, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Linnell? How you doing, bro?
I'm good. How you doing?
Mark. I would make that move for Kuzma. I would send him to Sacramento. And I think that would be our best bet. I know I agree with you. I don't think they really want to move him. I understand why. But I do think sooner or later, Linnell, you're going to have to start getting – you're going to have to identify your core. You just can't keep rebuilding, rebuilding, rebuilding. You got to identify your core. And I think part of their core is Denny and Coulibaugh. That's their two. Now, I also think maybe there's a chance Poole could be the core if you play Poole at the point. But it also depends on who they draft tomorrow. Now, I'm hoping they can get Sarr. If they can get Sarr, then maybe you put him at the four, and then you play Coulibaugh at the two, and then you play Denny at the three, and you go from there, and you can get other people to be your future point guard. Maybe you could draft Topolink later in the draft and just wait on him because he tore his knee up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But as far as trading the pick and getting more future assets, well, now this is not the NFL. You can't do that. You can't. And the reason why I say that is because the Wizards were blessed to get the number two pick.
They were.
What if next year in the draft lottery they're picking number 8 and 9? And you're trading away all your second pick this year for future draft picks and stuff like that. We don't know how the ball will go.
That's true.
And I think in the NFL you can do that. You can do that in the NFL. Can't do that in the draft lottery. Can't do it in the draft. I mean, and that's why I think they have to take someone at two.
Real quick, Mark. You think you would go with Sarr at number two?
I would go with Sarr at number two. God help us if we go with Klingon. I do not want to see Donovan Quinn in here.
Me either, Mark. I appreciate the call. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Mark makes an interesting comment here, and I think we can chew on this as the hour rolls on. We got Josh Robbins getting ready to come up on the other side of the break. Who are the pieces in Washington's core? Because if Kyle Kuzma is not for sure a piece, then you got to move him. It's cutthroat, but that's the way I feel about it. Kuzma's going to be an asset, though, to multiple different suitors out there in this NBA draft. Certainly a team. I look at a team like Memphis, who holds the number 9 overall pick. Would you give up 9 for Kuzma? Because Kuzma's got a contract that's already team-friendly in terms of the money being front-loaded, but then it declines to where in that final year of the deal, I think you're getting Kuzma at a discount of like $19.5 million. With today's explosion in the contracts, like Kuzma, especially considering the contract that he's on, 1,000% an asset. Let's go to Chuck in Bethesda. What's going on, Chuck?
Why would you even consider trading Kuzma for the 13th or the 9th pick in an absolutely horrible draft?
Well, Chuck,
I mean, at two, we don't even know what we're going to get, much less 9th or 13th.
So I think the reason for that is, according to most people that have studied this thing, between picks 10 and 25, it really in that back end of the first round, you're getting the same caliber of players. So why not get multiple guys in that slot? You already are armed with 26, and there are rumors running rampant that they're trying to move up from that pick. Maybe they have identified that as the sweet spot in the draft. And like I said, Chuck, I hear all the rumors as well about the draft not being very good. It is on the talent evaluators to find the talent that's in the draft. We say this each and every year. They said that about 2013. There have been multiple All-Stars to come out of that class. It's about being the team that finds them. And finally, for the first time in my existence, Washington actually has competent decision makers in the front office that I trust to make that decision.
Why wouldn't you keep Kuzma?
If a team is offering you draft capital for him, why keep him? What is Kyle Kuzma's 20 points a game do for you last year?
Okay, I just think he's an exceptional talent.
I think he's a good talent too, but I think at some point, aging player, looking to win now, like he's in the prime of his career right now. I give him all the credit in the world. He has grown up since coming here to Washington. He has made tremendous strides in his game. But if I think I may do it for the number 9 pick. If Memphis calls you with the 9th pick and says, hey, I want to do it. Even Sacramento at 13, I just think the more bites you have at the apple, the more chance you have of getting a franchise-altering talent. And we know right now Kyle Kuzma is not a franchise-altering talent.
Thank you, Linnell.
Chuck, appreciate you as always. Josh Robbins of The Athletic coming up next. Still moving and grooving along here in the 7 o'clock hour here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 9:10 before we dish things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They're bringing Nats baseball. Nats falling last night in dramatic fashion in the 10th inning to the Padres by a score of 7-6. Mackenzie Gore on the bump tonight for D.C. as they try to even this series up at one apiece. Massive series for the Washington Nationals as they're right now a game and a half back of the Padres for that third and final wild card spot in the National League. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up right here on The Fan starting at 9:10 with Nats on deck. As we've mentioned all show long, about 24 hours away from night one of the 2024 NBA draft. Make sure you join us live out on the concourse tomorrow night at Capital One Arena. Myself and Craig Kaufman will ride with you for the first hour as the Wizards on the clock with that number 2 overall pick. The big storyline, in my opinion, as we get geared up for tomorrow night's draft, is will the Washington Wizards walk away, or excuse me, this is the better way to phrase it, how many players will the Washington Wizards walk away with tomorrow night? Joining us right now via the BetQL guest hotline to sort through some of that, our good friend Josh Robbins, a senior NBA writer for The Athletic who covers the Washington Wizards. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Joshua B. Robbins. Josh, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Yes, good evening, Linnell. Good evening.
Yeah, it's a good evening indeed. I always get excited this time of year because, and Josh, you probably can relate to this and understand where I'm coming from. Being the youngest in charge movement as I am, I'm 26. So most of my Wizards off seasons, Josh, in my recent memory, have been spent looking forward to the NBA draft tomorrow night. It's around the corner and here once again. I guess I'll ask you the question that I just posed out a few moments ago. With all of the speculation running rampant right now, this is not reporting by any stretch. This is just Josh Robbins' gut feel. How many players does Washington leave tomorrow night's draft with?
Okay, so thinking that with the knowledge that for the first time in forever, there's only going to be one round tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I think they'll come away with two draft picks. And maybe that means they trade number 26 and 51 to move up higher into the first round to go along with number two. So that's my guess. I think a lot of that remains fluid, though.
For sure. And I've been curious to see some of the reporting out there trying to get a gauge on what Washington is doing. Jonathan Givony, the lead draft analyst for ESPN, described, you know, Washington and their camp being radio silent in terms of, you know, speculation and how open they've been with other, you know, execs and people of that matter in terms of their plans. You surprised at all that things have been, you know, as quiet as they've been on Washington's front?
No. And I think no one expected this executive group to open up workouts to the media. And the reality is that even with past regimes that had open workouts mm-hmm. to the media, or in other words, had guys who came in speak to the media after the workouts were done, sometimes there would be a second workout,
yeah.
and sometimes there would be a secret workout.
Yeah.
So really, none of these front offices, and I'm not all 30 of them, are in many ways not doing their jobs properly if this stuff gets out.
Right.
But it all does get out.
Eventually,
you know
right?
Why? You know why?
Why?
Because if, you know, Linnell Willingham has worked out for the Wizards and then goes to, or Josh Robbins goes, works out, the very next place they go, one of the first questions they're asked is, where have you worked out?
Right. So it's all public information at the end of the day when it gets down to the nitty-gritty. One report that I saw today, Josh, from your colleagues at The Athletic, I believe it was Anthony Slater and Sam Amick, I believe, reported that, and I'm trying to pull it up here because I completely just lost track of thought here in real time. But
maybe Sacramento.
Yes, the sack. Thank you, Josh. I had a brain at my young age, Josh. I had a brain fart.
Well, I'm your age, so
are we still doing this? Okay, well, I see we're still doing the bit. But no, yeah. Josh, your colleagues, you know, boots on the ground, doing excellent work as you are as well. What do you make of the report? And then, I guess I'll ask you this way: is Washington? Would you describe the Wizards as eager to move on from Kyle Kuzma or willing to listen to offers and why, depending on which way you lean?
No, they're not eager to move on from Kuzma. They want to get as many young guys who have upside and who also fit their timeline. By the time the Wizards get good, if they get good, it will be beyond Kuzma's current 4-year contract. He's got 3 years remaining. So, yeah, as Tommy Shepard always would say, and he was right, you have to have talent to get talent, and that's true. And who on this Wizards team is good enough to get you a lottery pick in a admittedly bad draft? The list isn't long.
Yeah,
it's Kuzma. It's maybe Denny. It's Bilal. Not a long list at all. And Sacramento is a team that had in prior years shown interest in Kuz, and my guys Amick and Slater know this. I mean, they're based there. That's not a secret. That's less secretive
right.
wherever anyone has worked out. So the Wizards have got to get better talent,
yeah.
right? Doesn't matter if they are going to be good right away. As a matter of fact, it's probably better that they don't add to the win total next year and the year after that. But if you can get guys who have a high ceiling, that's what they're going to do.
So, Josh, and I agree with what you're saying 110% because we understand what the goals of a rebuild are. You want to bring in as much young talent as possible, young, cheap talent. Kyle, based on the talent level and how much she's making and this being a declining contract, is he viewed as more of an asset in NBA circles because of the contract or because who Kyle Kuzma is?
He can play.
I'm not trying to take that away from him.
I'm trying to answer. Okay. He can play. And if he's bought in and is willing to do what a championship team or a high-level team needs from him, then he's a big asset. Sacramento needs to win now.
Yeah.
Because they are in a much tougher comp. They are in a tough conference. They didn't get into the postseason last year. Wildly missed expectations. If he is willing to play defense and not take a ton of shots and usage out of the hands of Sabonis and Fox, then he will be a great fit for them. And it helps that his contract is very good, very team friendly.
Yeah.
In the age of a second apron, where
right.
teams get rocked if they are above that number and can't maneuver anymore, then the contract also helps. So, yes, they're both how he could play if he's bought in mm-hmm. and the contract. He would have two pluses.
So basically, you're kind of agreeing with what I'm saying. I think the contract makes him more of an asset. As you just laid out there, though, the kid can play. He's got championship pedigree. It's about, as you said, him being willing to be locked in on the defensive end for 40-plus minutes tonight. And then is he going to be willing to share the rock and not be selfish offensively? I think in a situation like Sacramento, he would fit like a glove and give them exactly what I think maybe that they're missing. From the Wizards' angle of this, in terms of their hunt to acquire draft capital moving forward, we know Kyle Kuzma's a name that's been thrown out there. Another name that I continue to wonder about is Denny Avdija. Now, I haven't seen, I guess I'll put it this way, anyone with legit credibility put out that Denny has been, you know, talked about in trade conversations. In terms of Denny the player, if they are to retain him, how big of a step do you expect him to take next year? And in terms of if they're really looking at his long-term development, would it make sense to maybe clear some of the logjam that you have at the 3 and 4 there by moving on from Kyle Kuzma and certainly giving Denny more opportunity?
I'm processing your question. No, I'm not really keen on that because if you're going to move, Kuzma plays the four.
Right.
As you know. And, okay, well, Bilal can't play the four on most nights. So who would shift to the four? Denny. And playing at the four defensively negates, if he has to play the four defensively, mm-hmm. negates a lot of what makes him valuable on the defensive end.
For sure.
Yes, he could switch 1-2-4. But part of Denny's appeal, and he sure enhanced his stock last year with the increase in three-point shooting, his finishing around the basket, his foul drawing, everything is kind of rising for him. But the cherry on top, or really what I guess the root beer in the float.
Is his
height.
Yes.
And his ability
positional
to play,
size.
Yeah, to play. Yes, he can play the four, but he's an asset defensively at the three and guarding twos and some one.
Right.
So the reality is that right now, for the very long term, Bilal is probably more important than Denny because Bilal is younger.
For sure.
But you don't, you're, as usual, you and I agree on a lot of things. And for the long term, Bilal may be more important than Denny, but Denny's more important than Kuz. Just because of their ages.
Just because of the ages. And I look, as you just mentioned, not that we try to agree on purpose, Josh. We're just two smart basketball minds, my friend. I would, if any team in the lottery, Memphis at 9, 13 with Sacramento, if they're offering a first-round pick for Kyle Kuzma, I would be hard-pressed not to do it for some of the reasons that you just listed. Forget what you could potentially – not forget what you can get potentially in this draft, because obviously you want to draft pieces that could be a part of your future moving forward. But I am enticed by the idea of Denny Avdia getting an expanded role offensively for this group. And I know, you know, he had the big-time explosion against New Orleans last year, and I believe that came with Kuzma being out of the lineup. How – what do you think the ceiling is right now for a Denny Avdia in terms of what he can be on a contending team?
I'll tell you, because a lot of executives for other teams tell me that they like him, they'd love to have him on their team, and that on a good team, he'd be a very important piece because he can pass.
Yeah.
He can play with good players. Playing with good players will give him more space, but most of, again, he can defend. And the whole league is looking for 6'9" guys who can defend,
yeah,
on the perimeter and rebound and press and shoot. And last year he made a big jump with his long range shooting, 37% up from 30% prior year.
Yeah.
And if he can at least solidify that, it makes him, on an order of magnitude, many times more valuable
for sure
than where he was his third year.
For sure.
He's a valuable player, especially on a good team.
Yeah, I think, and we had this conversation pregame at certain points last year, Josh, about just what his value would be on a contending team, and I think your stance is maintained the same, and I feel like, you know, we're a little bit more confident in our stance because of the way he played post-All-Star break last year. We'll let you go here in a few moments, Josh. I got to ask you about Jordan Poole. And straight up, do you think he is a part of the Washington Wizards' long-term future?
How do you define long-term?
I would
beyond his current contract?
Beyond his current contract.
Probably not, because he didn't play well last year for the most part. Yes, he started to play better late after Brian Keith became coach, after he was essentially the point guard. That's true. And he is now only 23, 24.
Josh, let me cut you off for a second here, just to, I guess, rephrase and better put what I'm looking for from you in terms of your thought process. Percentage chance, and this is where we get fun here, percentage chance, Josh, a little probability that he is the starting point guard for the foreseeable future here, because I do think, and you know I'm a fan of his, that he played so much better the final 30-plus games of the season, especially when Brian Keefe got him back into the starting lineup after originally benching him. We saw a different type of cat. Is 20-7 a night out of the question for Jordan Poole if he's going to be dialed in and bought in to what Brian Keefe wants? And it seems like, based on the comments at season's end, that he's all in for being here.
I don't care what the comments are. I'm your age, but I've heard enough comments. Here's what it comes down to.
Yes.
They can't trade him because of his contract. Well, I guess they could trade him, but to do it, they would have to attach a first-round draft
pick. And that's just not happening, yeah.
No, or you'd have to be willing to get a worse contract.
Can you do worse?
Sure.
Well, yeah,
and
sure.
What makes it doubly difficult is that there is nothing that happened last year that shows the Wizards could make sense on the court if you have both Tyus and Jordan on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
It didn't work at all. And so that's the what they must have been weighing over the last 3-4 weeks, if not longer. You know, can they afford to re-sign Tyus, knowing that it diminishes Poole?
I just don't think that's – I wouldn't think that that would be the smart move. We've heard seen Tyus's name, you know, resurface here in trade talks as a side and trade candidate. There's some smart reporter out there for The Athletic and some young, bright 26-year-old radio host that was telling Wizards fans to calm down when they didn't move Tyus at the deadline because he was a prime sign and trade candidate and he's one of the best point guards right now in the market. Real quick, Josh, I'll let you go on this. Gut feel of who they select with that number two pick, and then what potential return do you think they get for Tyus Jones in a sign and trade?
Well, I'm not convinced that that is the way it's going to go with Tyus.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not convinced. It's a real possibility for the reasons we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for a first round draft pick for him last trade deadline, couldn't get one, as far as I've been told from other teams. How do I think that they're going to come away with number two? I think they keep the pick. I think they wind up with Alex Saar because he could be a foundational player if everything goes right, and he clearly doesn't want to play for the Hawks.
That's very clear.
And he wouldn't work out there. And I get why he wouldn't want to play for the Hawks. It's almost a little less that he wants to play for the Wizards. I agree with Gavani when he says that this is a little bit more about not wanting to play for the Hawks than wanting to play for Washington.
For sure. Yeah. Now, I'm sure he's got to be flattered.
It would be a good place for him.
I'm sure he's flattered at the amount of homework that they did on him during this process. It's been widely reported by yourself and others that they have sent a large contingent out to see Saar throughout the regular season. Josh, big night tomorrow night for the franchise. We look forward to talking to you soon, man, and get your reaction on how everything shakes out.
Okay, you bet you, Linnell.
Josh Robbins, one of the absolute best. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Joshua B. Robbins to get the latest on the Washington Wizards. Big-time guest still coming up here in the program. At about 8:30, we'll be joined by Jory Epstein, senior NFL writer for YahooSports.com, who took a trip to Ashburn during mandatory minicamp and got some inside access to the growth and development of Jaden Daniels. She'll expand upon that coming up at 8:30. More overtime next here on The Fan. Still moving and grooving along here in the 7 o'clock hour here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 9:10 before we dish things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They're bringing Nats baseball. Nats falling last night in dramatic fashion in the 10th inning to the Padres by a score of 7-6. Mackenzie Gore on the bump tonight for D.C. as they try to even this series up at one apiece. Massive series for the Washington Nationals as they're right now a game and a half back of the Padres for that third and final wild card spot in the National League. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up right here on The Fan starting at 9:10 with Nats on deck. As we've mentioned all show long, about 24 hours away from night one of the 2024 NBA draft. Make sure you join us live out on the concourse tomorrow night at Capital One Arena. Myself and Craig Kaufman will ride with you for the first hour as the Wizards on the clock with that number two overall pick. The big storyline, in my opinion, as we get geared up for tomorrow night's draft is, will the Washington Wizards walk away? Or, excuse me, this is the better way to phrase it. How many players will the Washington Wizards walk away with tomorrow night? Joining us right now via the BetQL guest hotline to sort through some of that, our good friend Josh Robbins, a senior NBA writer for The Athletic who covers the Washington Wizards. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Joshua B. Robbins. Josh, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Yes, good evening, Linnell. Good evening.
Yeah, it's a good evening indeed. I always get excited this time of year because, and Josh, you probably can relate to this and understand where I'm coming from. Being the youngest in charge movement as I am, I'm 26. So most of my Wizards off seasons, Josh, in my recent memory, have been spent looking forward to the NBA draft tomorrow night. It's around the corner, and here once again, I guess I'll ask you the question that I just posed out a few moments ago. With all of the speculation running rampant right now, this is not reporting by any stretch. This is just Josh Robbins' gut feel. How many players does Washington leave tomorrow night's draft with?
Okay, so thinking that with the knowledge that for the first time in forever, there's only going to be one round tomorrow, I think they'll come away with two draft picks. And maybe that means they trade number 26 and 51 to move up higher into the first round to go along with number two. So that's my guess. I think a lot of that remains fluid, though.
For sure. And I've been curious to see some of the reporting out there, trying to get a gauge on what Washington is doing. Jonathan Givony, the lead draft analyst for ESPN, described, you know, Washington and their camp being radio silent in terms of, you know, speculation and how open they've been with other, you know, execs and people of that matter in terms of their plans. You surprised at all that things have been, you know, as quiet as they've been on Washington's front?
No. And I think no one expected this executive group to open up workouts to the media. And the reality is that even with past regimes that had open workouts to the media, or in other words, had guys who came in speak to the media after the workouts were done, sometimes there would be a second workout, and sometimes there would be a secret workout.
Yeah.
So really, none of these front offices, and I'm not all 30 of them, are in many ways not doing their jobs properly if this stuff gets out.
Right.
But it all does get out.
Eventually,
you know
right?
Why? You know why?
Why?
Because if, you know, Linnell Willingham has worked out for the Wizards and then goes to, or Josh Robbins goes, works out, the very next place they go, one of the first questions they're asked is, where have you worked out?
Right. So it's all public information at the end of the day when it gets down to the nitty gritty. One report that I saw today, Josh, from your colleagues at The Athletic, I believe it was Anthony Slater and Sam Amick, I believe, reported that, and I'm trying to pull it up here because I completely just lost track of thought here in real time. But
maybe Sacramento.
Yes, the second. Thank you, Josh. I had a brain at my young age, Josh. I had a brain fart.
Well, I'm your age, so.
Are we still doing this? Okay, well, I see we're still doing the bit. But no, yeah. Josh, your colleagues, you know, boots on the ground doing excellent work as you are as well. What do you make of the report? And then I guess I'll ask you this way. Is Washington, would you describe the Wizards as eager to move on from Kyle Kuzma or willing to listen to offers and why, depending on which way you lean?
No, they're not eager to move on from Kuzma. They want to get as many young guys who have upside and who also fit their timeline. By the time the Wizards get good, if they get good, it will be beyond Kuzma's current 4-year contract. He's got 3 years remaining. So, yeah, as Tommy Shepard always would say, and he was right, you have to have talent to get talent, and that's true. And who on this Wizards team is good enough to get you a lottery pick in a admittedly bad draft? The list isn't long.
Yeah,
it's Kuzma. It's maybe Denny. It's Bilal. Not a long list at all. And Sacramento is a team that had in prior years shown interest in Kuz, and my guys, Amick and Slater, know this. I mean, they're based there. That's not a secret. That's less secretive
right.
wherever anyone has worked out. So the Wizards have got to get better talent, right? It doesn't matter if they are going to be good right away. As a matter of fact, it's probably better that they don't add to the win total next year and the year after that. But if you can get guys who have a high ceiling, that's what they're going to do.
So So, Josh, under, and I agree with what you're saying 110% because we understand what the goals of a rebuild are. You want to bring in as much young talent as possible, young, cheap talent. Kyle, based on the talent level and how much she's making and this being a declining contract, is he viewed as more of an asset in NBA circles because of the contract or because who Kyle Kuzma is?
He can play.
I'm not trying to take that away from him.
I'm trying to answer. Okay. He can play. And if he's bought in and is willing to do what a championship team or a high-level team needs from him, then he's a big asset. Sacramento needs to win now.
Yeah.
Because they are in a much tougher comp. They are in a tough conference. They didn't get in the postseason last year. Wildly missed expectations. If he is willing to play defense and not take a ton of shots and usage out of the hands of Sabonis and Fox, then he will be a great fit for them. And it helps that his contract is very good, very team friendly.
Yeah.
In the age of a second apron, where teams get rocked if they are above that number and can't maneuver anymore, then the contract also helps. So, yes, they're both how he could play if he's bought in and the contract. He would have two pluses there.
So basically, you're kind of agreeing with what I'm saying. I think the contract makes him more of an asset. As you just laid out there, though, the kid can play. It's about – he's got championship pedigree. It's about, as you said, him being willing to be locked in on the defensive end for 40-plus minutes tonight. And then is he going to be willing to share the rock and not be selfish offensively? I think in a situation like Sacramento, he would fit like a glove and give them exactly what I think maybe that they're missing. From the Wizards' angle of this, in terms of their hunt to acquire draft capital moving forward, we know Kyle Kuzma's a name that's been thrown out there. Another name that I continue to wonder about is Denny Avdia. Now, I haven't seen, well, I guess I'll put it this way, anyone with legit credibility put out that Denny has been, you know, talked about in trade conversations. In terms of Denny the player, if they are to retain him, how big of a step do you expect him to take next year? And in terms of if they're really looking at his long-term development, would it make sense to maybe clear some of the logjam that you have at the 3 and 4 there by moving on from Kyle Kuzma and certainly giving Denny more opportunity?
I'm processing your question. No, I'm not really keen on that because if you're going to move, Kuzma plays the four.
Right.
As you know. And, okay, well, Bilal can't play the four. On most nights. So who would shift to the four? Denny. And playing at the four defensively negates, if he has to play the four defensively, negates a lot of what makes him valuable on the defensive end.
For sure.
Yes, he could switch 1-2-4. But part of Denny's appeal, and he sure enhanced his stock last year with the increase in three-point shooting, his finishing around the basket, his foul drawing, everything is kind of rising for him. But the cherry on top, or really what I guess the root beer in the float,
the I like that one. I like
is
that
his,
one.
Is his height.
Yes.
And his ability
positional
to play,
size.
Yeah, to play. Yes, he can play the four, but he's an asset defensively at the three and guarding twos and some one.
Right.
So the reality is that right now, for the very long term, Bilal is probably more important than Denny because Bilal is younger.
For sure.
But you don't, I as usual, you and I agree on a lot of things. And for the long term, Bilal may be more important than Denny, but Denny's more important than Kuz. Just because of their ages.
Just because of the ages. And I, look, as you just mentioned, not that we try to agree on purpose, Josh, we're just two smart basketball minds, my friend. I would, if any team in the lottery Memphis at 9, 13 with Sacramento. If they're offering a first-round pick for Kyle Kuzma, I would be hard-pressed not to do it for some of the reasons that you just listed. Forget what you could potentially – not forget what you can get potentially in this draft, because obviously you want to draft pieces that could be a part of your future moving forward. But I am enticed by the idea of Denny Avdia getting an expanded role offensively for this group. And I know, you know, he had the big-time explosion against New Orleans last year, and I believe that came with Kuzma being out of the lineup. How – what do you think the ceiling is right now for a Denny Avdia in terms of what he can be on a contending team?
I'll tell you, because a lot of executives for other teams tell me that they like him, they'd love to have him on their team, and that on a good team, he'd be a very important piece because he can pass.
Yeah.
He can play with good players. Playing with good players will give him more space. But most of, again, he can defend. And the whole league is looking for 6'9" guys who can defend on the perimeter and rebound and prep and shoot. And last year he made a big jump with his long-range shooting, 37% up from 30% the prior year.
Yeah.
And if he can at least solidify that, it makes him – on an order of magnitude, many times more valuable
for sure
than where he was his third year.
For sure.
He's a valuable player, especially on a good team.
Yeah, I think, and we had this conversation pregame at certain points last year, Josh, about just what his value would be on a contending team. And I think your stance is maintained the same. And I feel like, you know, we're a little bit more confident in our stance because of the way he played post All-Star break last year. We'll let you go here in a few moments, Josh. I got to ask you about Jordan Poole. And straight up, do you think he is a part of the Washington Wizards' long-term future?
How do you define long-term?
I would
beyond his current contract?
Beyond his current contract.
Probably not. Probably not, because he didn't play well last year for the most part. Yes, he started to play better late after Brian Keith became coach after – he was essentially the point guard. That's true. And he is now only 23, 24.
Josh, let me cut you off for a second here, just to, I guess, rephrase and better put what I'm looking for from you in terms of your thought process. Percentage chance, and this is where we get fun here, percentage chance, Josh, a little probability that he is the starting point guard for the foreseeable future here, because I do think, and you know I'm a fan of his, that he played so much better the final 30-plus games of the season, especially when Brian Keefe got him back into the starting lineup after originally benching him. We saw a different type of cat. Is 20-7 a night out of the question for Jordan Poole if he's going to be dialed in and bought in to what Brian Keefe wants? And it seems like, based on the comments at season's end, that he's all in for being here.
I don't care what the comments are. I've been, again, I'm your age, but I've heard enough comments.
Oh, gosh.
No,
gosh.
Here's what it comes down to.
Yes.
They can't trade him because of his contract. Well, I guess they could trade him, but to do it, they would have to attach a first-round draft.
And that's just not happening, yeah.
No, or you'd have to be willing to get a worse contract.
Can you do worse?
Sure.
Well, yeah,
and
sure.
What makes it doubly difficult is that there is nothing that happened last year that shows the Wizards could make sense on the court if you have both Tyus and Jordan on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
It didn't work at all. And so that's what they must have been weighing over the last 3-4 weeks, if not longer. You know, can they afford to re-sign Tyus, knowing that it diminishes Poole?
I just don't think that's – I wouldn't think that would be the smart move. We've heard or seen Tyus's name, you know, resurface here in trade talks as a side and trade candidate. There's some smart reporter out there for The Athletic and some young, bright 26-year-old radio host that was telling Wizards fans to calm down when they didn't move Tyus at the deadline because he was a prime sign and trade candidate, and he's one of the best point guards right now on the market. Real quick, Josh, I'll let you go on this. Gut feel of who they select with that number two pick, and then what potential return do you think they get for Tyus Jones in a sign and trade?
Well, I'm not convinced that that is the way it's going to go with Tyus.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not convinced. It's a real possibility for the reasons we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for a first round draft pick for him last trade deadline. Couldn't get one. As far as I've been told from other teams, how do I think that they're going to come away with number two? I think they keep the pick. I think they wind up with Alex Sarr because he could be a foundational player if everything goes right, and he clearly doesn't want to play for the Hawks.
That's very clear.
And he wouldn't work out there, and I get why he wouldn't want to play for the Hawks. It's almost a little less that he wants to play for the Wizards. I agree with Gavani when he says that this is a little bit more about not wanting to play for the Hawks than wanting to play for Washington.
For sure. Yeah. Now, I'm sure he's got to be flattered.
It will be a good place for him.
I'm sure he's flattered at the amount of homework that they did on him during this process. It's been widely reported by yourself and others that they have sent a large contingent out to see Sarr throughout the regular season. Josh, big night tomorrow night for the franchise. We look forward to talking to you soon, man, and get your reaction on how everything shakes out.
Okay. You bet you, Linnell.
Josh Robbins, one of the absolute best. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Joshua B. Robbins to get the latest on the Washington Wizards. Big-time guest still coming up here in the program. At about 8:30, we'll be joined by Jory Epstein, senior NFL writer for YahooSports.com, who took a trip to Ashburn during mandatory minicamp and got some inside access to the growth and development of Jaden Daniels. She'll expand upon that coming up at 8:30. More overtime next here on The Fan.